In chapter 6 of the book of St. Matthew's, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. It says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. We're asking the scriptures in one place, who can I teach doctrine? And Brother Taylor, you remember what I said to you about the doctrine of Christ. All right, these things that I just read, two chapters in the book of St. Matthew 6 and 7, this is the doctrine of Christ. It's not of the apostles. It's not something that Brother Pike has thought of. It's not some denominational thing. This is the doctrine of Christ. These things that I said unto you are the doctrines of Christ. Paul said one time, if any man think himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I say unto you are the commandments of God. So tonight, I'd like for you to acknowledge that this is the doctrine of Christ. And you heard this. He said, now, you that have heard what I have said unto you, he said, if you do this, I will liken you to a wise man. He said, but now having heard what I said, if you do not do these things, I will liken you unto a foolish man. He said, because if you do these things as a wise man, then you're going to be founded upon a rock. And the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? Said that the wise man dug down deep and placed his house upon a rock. So then who is a rock? The Bible asks is the question. Who is a rock except our God, or but our God? So then upon this rock, Jesus said, that is upon God himself I build my house. That is upon Jesus, the Word, God, the Word, made flesh. Upon this rock, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, but upon this rock are the revelational truth, Peter, that you have received, which is God himself. For flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, that in that you say, I am the Christ. He said, but my Father, which is in heaven, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So he said, if we build on a rock, if we build on a rock, then the winds of contrary doctrines can blow. The storms of life can come. People can say what they want to. The fears and the frustrations and anxieties of life can come against us. He said, but if a man will put his faith in what I have said as to the rock of my word, upon Christ Jesus, upon this rock, he said, and if a man will build upon this rock, he said, his house will not fall. But if he does not build upon this rock and the winds come and all of these other things happen, he said, the house is going to fall. At some time, somewhere during your life, no matter how religious you are, and no matter how religious you've been, somewhere down the road, you're going to run into something you can't handle. And when you do, your house is going to crumble. The winds is going to blow. The lightnings of life are going to flash. And your house is going to fall. And great will be the ruin of it. Because when your house falls, it means an eternal loss. An eternal damnation. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. Paul said, and this is the house of God. Ye are the house of God. And when this house falls, great is the fall of it. Because there is nothing that hath the equality of a fall as to the loss of a human soul. There is nothing that can be lost in life. There is nothing that you can do. There is nothing that could happen to you that would be like the loss of your house. The whole dispute concerning the Word of God is over the house, over the body. You know, just recently the stock market fell. And when this happens, people begin to blow their brains out, you know, because they're rich, exceedingly rich. And overnight, they're paupers. And like the paper carried it, a man by the name of Cain, I believe it was, lost out overnight. He goes and shoots the one of the head men as to the stock market. He kills him. He kills himself. See, what is that? That house fell. Great was the fall of that house. If that man had been going after the right things, following after God, if somebody could have got to him, indoctrinated him with the right thing, seed of godliness mind on God, he would not have had that problem, and the house would not have fallen. So great is the fall of that house. That house has fallen. See, and that house has fallen into the very bellies of hell, down into the fire. See, those people sink down into the very bellies of hell. The Bible said the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and said, I'm tormented by the fire. I'm tormented by the flames. And I read to you the other night where the Bible said, and the flames are not quenched, and the worm dieth not. And the Bible spoke of the eternal vengeance of God, the flames of hell reaching up. And so then the man lost out. That was a horrible thing. Judas lost out. Cain lost out. People, hundreds and thousands of people lost out. And millions of people will lose out with God. Millions and multiplied millions of people will lose out with God because they did not found their house on a rock. You know, they went after business. They went after prestige. They went after glamour. They went after the glitter of the world. They didn't go after love, and they didn't go after peace, and they didn't go after joy, and they didn't go after godliness and long-suffering and holiness and virtue. And these kind of things is to build on the rock of God's Word or to honor God's Word. Or that is, they didn't go after the spiritual side of life to try to really found themselves on a foundation that would stand, but they went after the flesh, and they leant upon the arm of the flesh, and they've gone after the things of the world, and the beast has wandered after the flesh. So then the whole world is beginning to crumble. Everything is beginning to come down because they are building on the sand. The song speaks of building on the sands. So they're building on the sands, but you know what? I found that building on the rock is the right way. I think about it every day of my life. Hardly a day goes by but what I don't think about. The blessings of God and the strength of walking with Christ and doing the things that are right. And just in the last day or two, I've thought, Lord, how wonderful it is that I found out about God and that I built on the rock. And how wonderful it is that I'm standing on the rock, the solid rock. They're fixing to put that song on tape. As a matter of fact, I think they're naming one of the albums, The Rock, concerning the song that we wrote, I'm on the rock, I'm on the rock. And they're putting that on tape. And you know, I thank God, I'm on the rock. I'm on the rock. Last night, when all of the winds began to blow, as we say, and the storms began to assail, and it was a terrible situation. You know, I told Brother Atlow the phone, I said, don't worry about it. It never shook me. It never bothered me. The Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. And somebody was doing some boasting, and God said to me, he said, I'll put a hook in his nose. You know, one time a man came to a king of Israel, and he stood out there, Israel being a little nation, he stood out there and he boasted, and he said, I'll do this and I'll do that. And the king, he was just trembling and tore up according to the scriptures. No, and he went to the prophet, he said, what am I going to do? And the prophet went to God, and God said, you go tell him, thus saith the Lord. And he went back and he said, thus saith the Lord. And the king said to that other king said, God said, I'll put a hook in your nose and take you back to where you came from. And God put a hook in his nose, because about the time he was about to attack Israel, all of a sudden the enemy came in on his kingdom and over in his place. And he went back there and they killed him. And that was the end of that story. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And little Israel is still standing today, and her ruler is still there today, and she's still going on because that country is around. Yeah. Hallelujah. God has blessed it to give us something really typical and outstanding. So folks, we want to build on the rock. I built on the rock. And I've got some people at Bethlehem that's built on the rock. And I notice when all these problems comes, it doesn't shake my people at Bethlehem, because they're built on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. So I praise God for his wonderful blessings. And when I speak of these things, it is the doctrine of Christ. This is the doctrine of Christ. I want you to think this over for just a minute. Here we are, we're running around after the things of the world. The Bible said, and the Gentiles seek after the things of the world. So here we are as people, as to the Gentile world, we're seeking after all of these things. You know, we want this and we want that. And we go after the glitter and the glamour, and we're continually doing that, wanting the things of the world. You can go into the shopping malls. You can go around where they're selling automobiles. You can go any place where they're selling homes or land or whatever. You just got people just streaming, just going, 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 you know, wanting to buy, wanting to buy, wanting to buy. Around the stock market, hundreds and thousands of people right there investing, you know, in this stock or that stock or another thing, hoping to strike it rich. Go to Reno, Nevada. Go out in that area and you just find thousands of people around the wheel laying money down, trying to strike it rich, you know, gambling. And in homes, they're doing the same things right here in Monroe and the different places right here around the home, as we say. So then, you see all of this, and you see people going out on the job daily. They are worried, they're tore up, they're nervous. People are always questioning God, you know, can I keep my job? Am I going to make enough money? You know, I got to pay on my automobile. My, I can't afford to lose my home. I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. Trying to get the kids on education, constantly caught up in this kind of thing. Constantly caught up in it. You know, and I think about that, and then I think about what Jesus said. Jesus said, why take ye thought for these things? What's wrong with you, Jesus said. Oh, somebody would say, God's got good common sense. He knows that we got to get up on Monday morning and we got to go to work. We got to have whatever. God knows that, somebody says. But the Lord said, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? That is, don't you remember when I put Adam back in the garden, how he had to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and go do his job and make sure he didn't get upset at his employer and he didn't get fired so everything would be taken care of? Are you listening to me? That wasn't it at all, was it? See, God took Adam, created Adam and Eve, put them in a garden, made them everything, and said, now look, folks, I'm everything. That settles it. Just go have a good time. From now on, just go have a good time. Isn't that right? But the thing is, because of sin, they got separated from God. Folks, how is it? Now that we have come to know Jesus, and they met Jesus walking around down there, and there was God Almighty, that trying to get things back in stride, trying to get things back like it was in the days of the garden, trying to tell people, look, you're all frustrated over nothing, that the devil's got you frustrated. And it's the devil that's a pauper, and it's the devil that's cut off in the darkness of intellectual ignorance, and it's the devil out yonder that can't get to these things concerning the fruits of the ground and all the blessings of God. And he has to keep you frustrated and keep you blinded so that he can get into your house, into your temple, and be partakers of all of these benefits. And the harassment of mind and the problems you've got and sicknesses and the depletion of life, all of this is because of the devil. It's because of your thinking. It's because you're mixed up. It's because you strayed away from God all of these years. And here I come. Jesus said to try to straighten the thing up and take you back home. Get you out of the hog pen like the prodigal and put you over here in the right place to where you don't have to worry about these things. Oh, somebody said, you could never do that, Brother Pike. Simply by believing it, the Bible says. Just by believing it, old Brother Elijah, he just sat down by the creek over here, and every time he got hungry, he looked around to see if they was bringing his food. Come on, folks. I said, he just looked around to see if the ravens was going to be late with what they're supposed to bring him. Isn't that right? He didn't worry about nothing. He just, over there in one place, he just sat up, and the angel prepared him a cake, and he ate it, and he laid back down and went back to sleep. And the angel woke him up again and said, Elijah, it's time to eat again. Come on, folks. You understand what I'm saying? Why do we get so mixed up? Why do we get frustrated? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I've got to keep this thing figured out. I've got to have so much of this and so much of that. And I've got to know about this. And I've got to tell my folks. And I've got to be on my business, on the job in my business and whatever. But Jesus said, why take ye thought for this? Folks, I run this business right here. This is the business of God. I'm a minister. I run this business. I have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars with regularity. But I don't take thought for that. I don't take thought for that. Sometimes the bookkeepers get all frustrated. I say, why are you all upset? Oh, I said, no, no need to worry about that. They ain't got nothing to do with it. I said, this is God's business. He's the one that set it up. He's the one that runs it. He's the one that takes care of it. He said, take no thought. He told me to worship him and to love him and to praise him and to go out and tell people about the glad tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. To go out there and do something for him. That he'd take care of all of my needs. He'd supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. He'd stand with me and he'd see that everything was taken care of. And if my ways please him, I wouldn't have to build tanks and planes and whatever to get over there to fight. For the Bible said the race is not to the swift and the battle is not to the strong. And it says unless God keeps the city, the watchman riseth but in vain. He said, if your ways please me, I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. And he said, there's no weapon that your enemy can make, no weapon that's formed that'll ever prosper against you. He said, from whence cometh wars? Where do they come from to start with? Is it not from the lust that war in your members? You lust, you can't have it. You can't obtain unto it because He said, you're not right with God. He said, you desire it for a selfish motive. You don't have the right outlook. You're not right in your attitude. He said, isn't this where the fighting and the struggling comes from? Two men is in a contest over here. One's trying to outdo the other. They used to use the term the Smith and the Jones. That's kind of unfair to those folks. But anyway, they're in a contest, and after a while, the contest is a little worse. And over here, it's the hillbillies on this side of the hill and the hillbillies on this side of the hill. And after a while, you know, the things got into a bigger thing, and it's a war over here, and it's the North against the South. And the first news you know, it's over here. It's Germany against America, or America against China, or China against this country or that country. See, wars, from whence cometh wars? It's problems from your thoughts and from your lust and from the devil that got into Adam and Eve. Every war came from the lust of Adam and Eve. Every death, every sorrow, every bit of the poverty. So then who is it in poverty? Who is it that should struggle and wrestle around and run after the world? Those people that are in the world. Those people that belong to the world, let them wrestle. Let the devil live inside of them and let them run to and fro trying to figure out how to run this thing and how to get our benefits and how, you know, they're going to take over our land and set out their squatters. Let them worry about that. But let's us love God. Let's us walk with God. Let's us follow God as Israel did. Let's us honor God. Let's us meditate in the laws of God day and night. Let's us be about our Father's business. And let us rise up with God to take the kingdom and put the squatters off and do away with all that frustration out there and just go settle down in the millennium and enjoy the wonderful glories and blessings of God. See, to get rid of them people and the devil with them when we get rid of them. See, they're the ones that's in poverty. The devil is in poverty. He's using the beast of this world to try to get things together to where he can rule and where he can have control of all those things. But I'm not in poverty. All things are mine. Everything belongs to me. Life belongs to me. Health belongs to me. Eternal existence belongs to me. The wonderful knowledge of God belongs to me. Joy, peace, righteousness, all of these things belong to me. See, I don't have to worry over that. I'm not frustrated over that. Why should I be frustrated? I have everything that I need. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, you couldn't possibly have, but I do have. I do have. Some of you have been here for about 18 years. Tell me where I'm lacking. Tell me where I'm lacking. Not one thing. I challenge any of you to point out one thing. You can't point out one thing, not one thing. You know why you can't? Because the scriptures can't be broken. And the Bible says, he that walketh upright before me shall lack no good thing. He said the young lion may suffer hunger. But he said the man that walks upright before me, the woman that walks upright before me shall lack no good thing. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I just can't hardly make it. I know that because you're hypocriting around. Somebody says, that couldn't be the way. Well, if it wasn't the way, the scripture would be broken. And the Bible teaches that the scripture can't be broken. And the Bible emphatically states that if any man will confess his sins and forsake his sins, that whatever that man doeth shall prosper. But he said, if any man covereth his sins, he shall not prosper. Amen. See, anybody covering their sins are not going to prosper. If you're not prospering, it's because you're covering your sins. Now, somebody would say, well, you're supposing that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said, from such turn away. No, I'm not supposing that at all. I didn't go after worldly gain. I said all the Gentiles seek after that. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. My blessing shall make you rich and add no sorrow. I, my God, shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And ye shall lack no good thing. I will give you the desires of your heart. I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. But he said, if you don't honor me, I'll make your sickness of a long continuance. You just can't get well. You just hypocrite around and you won't be able to get well, he said. And if you cover your sins, you're not going to prosper. And he said, if you go out into the world and make a whole lot, he said, you may go make a lot, he said, but when you come home, I'm going to blow on it. And he said, there's a hole in your bucket. A hole in your bucket. So then, you've committed the two evils. First, forsaking the living God. Another thing is you're a bucket. It's got a hole in it. And no matter what you put into it, it isn't going to be enough. It isn't going to be enough. He said, because you have let my house lay waste. Not necessarily this house as a natural building that we have here, but this house. See, if you don't let this house, as the Bible said, this bodily house, this temple, if you don't let it lay waste, if you keep it right, holiness and godliness and righteousness and faith and all these wonderful things, if you keep it right, you don't have to worry about this natural building. You'll take care of it. God will have a place. God's people will have a place. The light bill will be paid. You'll take care of the natural things and you'll share what you've got. And everybody will have a place to go to church. As long as you keep this man straight, that's the main thing. So then this is the doctrine of Christ. That's what Jesus was saying. He that built on the word, he that built on my doctrine, and he who can I teach doctrine, who will listen at me, Jesus said, they that are weaned from the breast. You know, the milk of the word, Paul said, just go on taking the milk of the word. Go on with the milk of the word. That's fine. Feed the babies. Don't fail to feed my little babies, Jesus said, my little sheep. But he said, there are some that are strong who have by reasoning exercised their senses enough to discern between good and evil, and they are the ones that the meat belongs to. And he said, I want meat in my house. So then I see the wonderful blessings of God. I see these things. I see people frustrated, running around in anxiety and fear and bewilderment and all of these complex situations of life. I see this. When God said, simmer down, don't worry, like I told Atlee. Atlee was tore up. He had run into a terrible situation. I said, just, you know, take it easy, Atlee, simmer down. I told him, I said, just don't worry. I said, it'll come out right. Just right, it'll come out just right, folks. It came out just right. In spite of the frustration and according to the vision that I had, it was working right around to the very vision I had seen of the thing as to the problem. But see, God will make your enemies to be at peace with you if you honor Him. God will supply all of your needs if you will seek His kingdom first. God will take care of you in every way if you'll honor the Lord with your substance. Whatever it is, if it's your mind, your brain, whatever your substance is, your car, your house, your land, your strength, whatever, to love Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. See, to love thy neighbor as thyself. That is, share with him. Consider him. Want him to be just as blessed and prosperous as you want to be in your own life. So then the Bible teaches that if you do these things, then I will bless you. I will bless you. I will make your cup to run over. My cup runs over. God blesses me all the time. He blesses me. Somebody says, for how long, Brother Pike? Throughout eternity. Throughout eternity. He's going to bless me throughout eternity. He's going to keep blessing me throughout. Oh, no, somebody says. Oh, yes, He will. Glory to God, He will. Now, God has said it. It can't be altered. It doesn't matter what you think or said. He's going to bless me throughout eternity. If you can figure out how long eternity is, then you will know just how long He's going to bless me. Throughout eternity, I have an eternal blessing. So, let me say this to you in closing tonight. What is the frustration? What is the problem? Why the anxiety after all the preaching that the preacher has preached to you? Why is it that you're doing all these things? See, why are you doing this? Solomon didn't do that. He had exceedingly great wealth. All he did was just ask God to give him wisdom to serve Him. And he was just ruler over the whole earth. What are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? The little fish in the sea, afraid to take a drink, afraid that he'll use it all up. Well, somebody says, Brother Pike, it's like this. You know, I know that God loves me, and I know that God will watch after me. But the thing is, I bought me an automobile, and I don't know whether he'll make them payments on that thing or not. Well, it's for sure that if he doesn't, you don't need it. You must have got out of stride somewhere, and you must have got ahead of him. If God don't make the payments on it, it might be that he's letting you get rid of it today so they won't have your funeral day after tomorrow. He's got a reason for it. But folks, let me tell you, when the Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, That means you can not only afford a Chevrolet, but you can afford a Cadillac. He said, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. You know what the high places of the earth? That's like kings and queens and rich men. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. God said, my blessing will make you rich. That means you can afford a little more. You know, when you're rich, you can afford a little more. Isn't that right? God said concerning Abraham, I'll bless you. Abraham said, God made me rich. And the people said, Abraham, thou art a great prince. God made Solomon rich. God made David rich. Oh, somebody said, but Brother Pike, look at the early church. They didn't have nothing. Oh, yes, they did. The Bible said they sold all they had and laid it down at the apostles' feet. They had plenty. They had plenty. Laid it down at the apostles' feet. As a matter of fact, when Peter started taking inventory, he got rid of a couple of people that was interfering with it. You understand what I'm saying? The only thing is, they had the same outlook I have. They didn't go around with money in their pocket. It was going out taking personal offerings, and they didn't have their mind on the wealth of the world. They had a job to do, and all the rest worked together to the benefit of the people. And when they gathered together, Paul said, get it all together so you can send to the poor. So you can do something. The one thing I'm trying to do at Little Bethlehem is to try to get you to work, labor in the vineyard of the Lord and do something to put it all together for Christ. You ladies that are working and laboring, trying to do something with the clothing and whatever you're trying to work with, do it as unto the Lord and do it freely. Do it cheerfully. God loveth the cheerful giver. It's when you do it first to God and you do it cheerfully that your cup begins to run over. So then when you do these things, work together. You brethren that try to work together, do something for God. I saw Brother Gilbert and some of the others, Brother Cobbs and Brother Abichi back here, down there working together, trying to build a building down there for the glory of God. Do it all as unto the Lord. If you're going to dig a ditch, if you're going to work on the plains, going to work with the boat, if you're going to do anything at all, whatever it is, do it as unto God. If you're going to preach, if you're going to sing, whatever, do it all as unto the Lord. And I'll guarantee you God will bless you and you'll have your cup to run over. But folks, when you're frustrated and you begin to wonder about this and wonder how you're going to meet that and wonder if this is the right way and wonder if that's the right way, it's for sure. But you don't know the mind of God and you're going to end up with frustration and anxiety and fears, complex and bewilderments of life, and you're going to lose what you've got and you're going to be in the bog and in the mire. And other people are just going to pass you by that love and believe in God. All right, so then God has told you. He has instructed you. He has given you good doctrine. And it's up to you to listen, to take heed that how that you hear it, that you don't let it slip, to understand this thing and incorporate it in your lifestyle. For the Bible said, he that doeth these things, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon the rock. The winds blew, the rains came, and all of the storms of life assailed. He said, but that house didn't fall. When the storm was over, the house was still standing. All right. Brother Taylor sings, build your house on the solid rock. Round with the wife today, and I saw the hustle and the bustle. You know, people just going, going, going. Their minds just, you know, they were drunk. The Bible said they that are drunk in the night. They were drunk in the night of their intellectual wandering in darkness. And they're drunk off of the cares of the world, just staggering to and fro. You know, there's a natural drunkard, there's a spiritual drunkard. Everything in the natural is only symbolic of something spiritual. And as to the natural world, so is the natural drunkard and the natural problem. As to the spiritual man, as to the spiritual world, so is the spiritual drunkard and the spiritual problem. All right, let's sing together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. for my rest. It is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempests may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you sing it with me? For we've anchored soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. So we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. Sing it again. I don't want your gold and silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want the love of Jesus for to me is everything. Oh, I don't want no gold or silver. Oh, I don't want no diamond. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything. You know, when I was a real young fella, about 17 or 18 years old, one thing that I always kept was my ring. I had a beautiful ring that had a ruby in it and two little diamonds like over here. And it was beautiful. I always had my ring. And I had a gold bracelet that I always wore on my arm, you know. And a lot of times a little gold chain with a little locket or a cross or whatever around my neck. And I'd wear a little bow tie, you know. And I just thought I had to have everything just so and in place. Then I get me a beautiful silk scarf, put it around my neck, you know, in cold weather, and give me a nice overcoat, nice suit, and beautiful silk socks. I wanted silk socks, whether I wore my sandals or whatever I wore, you know. And I wanted everything just so. And I always had to have some money. I just wouldn't go, I just had to have some money. But you know, one day God got a hold of me, and the ring went one way, and the bracelet, the necklace, and all these other things, and everything just went away. And I said, my God, I don't want no rings, and I don't want no gold bracelets, and I don't want no money. I don't want nothing. I said, I just want God. That's all I want. And since God turned me around, I don't carry any money around with me. I don't mess with money. I don't mess with rings. I don't mess with the little bow ties. I don't mess with the frivolous things of the world. Changed my life. I just had to have me a gold watch, a beautiful gold watch. Expensive gold watch. But one day I learned that isn't the way. That isn't the way. That's why that I wrote this song. Let's sing it again. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, sing it one more time, He's everything. So we don't want your gold or silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus, for to me He's my everything. You know, I trusted God. I said, Lord, I just believe you'll meet everything. I just believe you'll meet all of my needs. And He does. I don't have to carry money around. Wherever I'm at, He meets my needs. When I'm thirsty, He gives me drink. When I'm hungry, He gives me food. When I'm in need of clothing, He gives me clothing. Like I said at the store the other day, I just got disgusted. Me and Betty was looking. And I said, Betty, I'm just going home. I said, whatever God wants to give me in the way of a coat, He'll just have to give it to me. He'll just have to give me what He wants. And within a day or two, God sent me 3 brand new coats. And others talking about buying coats. So God will take care of you. You know, He will take care of you. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, them jewels, you go by them jewel stores and all that sparkling splendor, and you can't mess with it? Oh yes, there's jewels. Some of you have seen the jewels. We've got jewels. Not too long ago, somebody gave us 2 belt buckles with all kinds of little jewels in them. Real jewels in them, you know. All kinds of jewels. We've got jewels. We've got some big jewels. They're given to us, you know. All kinds of jewels. He gives you everything. It don't matter what it is. He gives you everything. But you know, what does that mean? Somebody said, but just think, you got them things, Brother Pike. Well, I got gold mines and I got diamond mines. I don't get around to see them, you know, I'm too busy. But I got all kind of diamond mines and gold mines. You ought to take a look at them sometime. You will utterly be amazed at what I own. And you say, well, now, what is it that you own? All things. He said, all things are mine. All things are mine. So I own everything. Everything. So, well, what about them fellas out there? Why come you don't make them give them up? Because if I did, wouldn't be nobody to work them. I have to keep them out there working those things, looking after them. Say, but yeah, but everybody's getting them but you. Yeah, but everybody belongs to me. You know, it's like the billionaire. He owns all the plants. He just takes care of the people and their children, that's all. He doesn't have time to mess with all that. You love the Lord? Let's give the Lord a hand. Blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You know the difference between me and the billionaire? The great difference is what I've got is eternal wealth. His will fade away. The Bible said the rich man will fade away. And another thing, see, is he owns a few dollars. I own the heavens and I own the stars. I own the moon. I own everything. You know, around through the different nations, they just kind of have a little monopoly on, you know, you go out 100 miles or a few miles out in the ocean, and that's called national waters. And in their nation, they
they kind of watch after that, but I own all the international waters. All of them belongs to me. Every bit of it. Somebody said, oh, you couldn't get it if you wanted it. The Bible said he holds the whole world in his hand. He just scooped out the ocean. Say, who done all of that? I've done all of that. See, that's why it belongs to me. Who made all of that? I made all of that. That's why it belongs to me. Oh, somebody said you couldn't possibly have Brother Pike. But the Bible says that God did it. Isn't that right? And who is God? Couldn't be nothing but the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh. God said, Job, where was you when the sons of God leaped for joy? Back before the world ever was, these things was given to me in Christ. It's just now being revealed. See, it's been revealed. Revealed to who? All of them that'll have to come and kneel at my feet and know that God has loved me. That's why that I'm able to go on and do what I need to do. I just use whatever I need whenever I get ready. I said last night, I said, I need $620. But I said, I am sorry. She done laid down. She said, there is no $620. I said, it don't make no difference. We'll still use $620. I need it. I got up. I walked into the room over here. And I told the Lord, and in a few minutes, I didn't ask nobody for it. I had to ask $620. Let's give the Lord a hand. You love the Lord? Why is that? Because that's what God does. That's what God does. And you know what? When the morning came, I still wasn't broke. Still got some more money. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, well, where in the name of reasoning is all this money coming from, Brother Pike? Well, he said he would supply all of my needs, and he, according to his riches and glory, and he said, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills, and all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine. And it's like a man that came out here one time from the radio station. He said, I want to ask you a question. I said, all right. He said, how in the world you do this? Where you get all that money? And like the people of the credit exchange up there, said Miss Pike, said these people that Mr. Pike deals with can't figure out how in the name of reasoning that he does all these things. Others have come and said, how do you do it? You know, it's like a man, you've heard that little saying, I heard this, they say it happened. Man out trying to build a church. And some man come over and said, how are you going to do that? He said, I'm going to build this with the cow on the hill. And the man couldn't figure it out, and he came back day after day, and they asked him, said, how are you going to do this? He said, with the cow on the hill, and he wasn't getting nowhere. And finally, this rich man that asked a number of times said, look, said, I want to give you the money to build that church. He is so loyal in depending on the cow on the hill and testifying to it. And when the man gave him the money, he said, my father owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. So that's what I'm building. The king's heart is in his hand. The rich man's heart, the preparation of the man's heart. He caused that man to build the church with the cow on the hill. So that's the way that we do it, by the grace of God, by his wonderful blessings. Somebody says, I know how you do it. Boy, they poured in down at that men's meeting. Yeah, I think they poured it in this week, didn't they? Did you tell the people about our new refrigerator? I told them about it. As a matter of fact, I think they poured in $400 and something this week. By the way, the dock rent was $420. Pouring in. All right. God has a way, folks. He knows how to do it. The other day when I needed something and a few dollars coming in, the men's meeting, a fellow dropped by and left $2,000. $100 bills. He knows how to do it. Let's sing another little chorus together. While we're singing this chorus, the altars are open. It's by faith that we do these things. It's by faith. Oh, beloved friend, you don't know what you're forfeiting as to your rights. Oh, what peace we often forfeit because we do not carry everything to Him in prayer. Instead of trying to figure out about your job and what you're going to do and whether you're going to get fired or how it's going to work out, what you need to do is keep your mind on Jesus. As the songwriter said, keep your eyes on Jesus and He'll calm the troubled waters of your soul. See, that's what you need to be thinking about is Jesus. Think about Jesus, not about the things of the world. Let God take care of that. He made you. He made the world. He knew the responsibility. Don't you believe when He made that great vast ocean and all of those things, those huge species in the ocean, when He made the jungle and the lions, the tigers, great big old boa constrictors, elephants, don't you believe He knew that He was going to have to feed them and take care of them? Isn't that right? When He made mass humanity of millions of people to be multiplied upon the earth, don't you think He knew that He had the responsibility? Isn't that something? The sparrow don't sow, does he? He don't reap, does he? He don't gather into barns, does he? Jesus said, why do you think like you think? Think like I'm thinking. Let my mind be in you. Why are you so worried? He said, that little sparrow ain't doing a thing, just flying around chirping. What are you worrying about? Folks, I got a feeling that if He can take care of that big, fat, lazy whale, He can take care of me. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Why do we worry? Oh, ye of little faith, Jesus said. Let's just enjoy God and enjoy His love. Learn to understand Him and realize that He hasn't created a generation of people or an earth or something down here to put us all down here in Egypt and enslave us, you know, and keep us making tinklets and making brick. That He made this place because He wanted to sit down and rest a while and take you and I on His knee like Jesus did the little children, and sit down over there for about 10 million years and have some fellowship with His little family, you know, and not send His little family out to the cotton field to pick a sack so that He can get a biscuit. But, you know, just put us over there so we can live and enjoy life. And if somebody wants to build a house, good and well. Fine, let him build one. Let him build a dozen. It's okay. If he gets tired of building houses, he can build moons and stars and whatever he'd like to do. You know, it's whatever he'd like to do. Just so he's having a good time, everything's good and nothing will harm in all my holy mountain, that'll be fine. You know, just do whatever you want to. If the little children want to wrestle with the lions, that's okay. Let them jump on the back and ride the lion. It's okay. Nothing won't harm, he said. That's what he wants, is his little family together. He's got enough in the cupboard to take care of us. He's got enough in the cupboard to take care of us. Sister Betty, she looked in the refrigerator when we came in, and somebody said, 3 apples. I said, well, a refrigerator like that, you know, you ought to be thankful you got 3 apples if you have to pay for a refrigerator like that. Isn't that right? That costs a lot of money. But since I'm not paying for it, and God's paying for it, well, we'll have ham and steak and all kinds of things in there. All right, let's sing together again. The altars are open. I'm just telling you about the good tidings of great joy. How beautiful are the feet of them that publish peace, seeing that a risen Savior is with you, and there is glad tidings of great joy. Behold, a King rules and reigns in righteousness. And you don't have to do a thing but cease from your own labor and enter into His rest. Down at the cross where I first saw the light, burdens of my heart rolled away.
It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Sing it again. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Gone and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, all the day of triumph gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, over death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone. Can you sing it again with me? Oh, he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. Oh, he's gone, oh, the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. You know, the one thing a young girl looks forward to is the bridegroom. A lot of times she'll get her hope chest and she'll get all kind of things, little things, putting them together. You know, her hope chest is that she's hoping to get a husband. And she's looking forward to the bridegroom because that's her husband. She's looking forward to it. She lives all of her life looking forward to the bridegroom. She doesn't know just exactly who it's going to be, but she knows that's the one that's going to just satisfy her heart. She's just going to be so happy, you know, when the bridegroom comes. And that's the way we are. See, God made a woman to show humanity. We are the feminine part, and God is the great masculine one. And we have a hope chest. You know, the Bible said, and God has subjected us
That is the creature to vanity in hope. So we got a hope chest. Put all of these things within our heart. We got a hope chest because we are getting every little thing together. A little bit of love, a little bit of peace, a little bit of joy, a little bit of long-suffering, a little bit of meekness. What are we doing that for? Because we're looking for the bridegroom. He's going to satisfy our heart. When he comes, he's going to be everything we ever desired. Every flicker of our mind, every intent of our being is going to light up because he is the bridegroom. He has all the answers to our problems, all of our fears and frustration and anxieties. Like a woman, you know, she's the weaker species. And sometimes she gets nervous and she gets frustrated, you know, and somebody, the neighbors have risen up and they've said something to the kids and she's all nervous and her husband comes home and flexes muscles, says, "Where is he at?" You know, she cheers all up and she said, "Well, you don't have to do that. It's okay now." You know, Jesus, he'll come with all of our problems. He'll come. Yes, too, the man would come in and say, "Who done it? Who done it?" He'd reach up and get his shotgun. He'd say, "Tell me where he's at." And that's the way it is. When Jesus comes, the devil, he gets on the run. All them bad folks, they get on the run. And we feel confident. We're not afraid. You know, I get out and I say, "Glory to God, I ain't afraid of him. I ain't afraid of him." You know why I do that? Because I got the bridegroom in my heart. I got God with me. You know, and David said, "I run through a troop and leap over a wall." You know, or "I've done it." See, and Samson just reached back and got the jawbone of an ass. And you know why he did that? He slayed 1,000 men at one time. That ain't even possible. That's not possible for a human being to do that. His strength couldn't possibly do that. But see, he did it like another man, an ox gore, 700 men he took on at one time and killed them. See why? Because the Spirit of God was upon him. Samson reached and got a lion and rent him like he'd been a kid. Why did he do that? Because the mighty bridegroom was with him, and he did that. The power of God. Our God made the mountain shake. He said, "I'll make the heavens to shake. Why should I be afraid? Who shall I fear? I have no fear. He is with me. Fear not," Jesus said, "I'm with you. I'll make your enemies be at peace with you." So that's why I sing the song, "I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes." Let's sing it again. "I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be dressed in hotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes." You know, when Israel was trembling and the giant was standing on the mountain out there, God reached over there on the hillside and he got David. And he done away with the opposition. And Israel confided so in David because God was with him. He was the champion of Israel. And when they had problems and everything went wrong, David would come around and Israel would cheer up. They didn't worry no more, because David just by himself could run through a whole troop and they wasn't worried about it. Like Jonathan, you know, you remember the man that went out on the field. He woke up early one morning. The enemy had come in, and this man got up courageous and he got to thinking about it. He said, "Why, the battle's not to the strong. The race is not to the swift." This is the way he talked to himself. He said, "The battle belongs to the Lord. Why should I wait for an army?" He just got his sword, took his armor bearer, and went out there and defeated the whole army. Joshua, when Joshua got ready to cross the Jordan and started in, he just commanded the sun, and his little old army was so little, he couldn't do nothing. So God, he just had the angels to throw stones down there and kill them out so they wouldn't be in Joshua's way. Let's give the Lord a hand. God's good, isn't he? God's good. How many of you would like to rise up and be a real, genuine hero for God or heroine for God? How many would like to do that? See, and really do something for God like you've never done in your life. You can do it. How can I do it, Brother Pike? By faith. By faith. The elders obtained a good report. By faith, many great wonderful deeds was done by faith. I was just testifying to some people yesterday about the miracles. I mean the outstanding divine miracles that God has just brought to pass in my ministry, just in my time. The wonderful, you don't know much about it. Some of you know of some, but they're not written so much. They're not published so much. But I mean outstanding miracles and things by doctors and whatever. And I was just going through numbers of miracles. There's numbers of miracles right here in Bethlehem that you never have even considered. God is doing great and mighty things, and financial miracles, all kind of things. God has delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. He's delivered me from the desert. He's delivered me from many things, all because I believe in Jesus. You know, and all you got to do is believe. That's all. I want to sing that again. Can you sing it with me? Now, greater than Solomon is here. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Now I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing it again. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. You know, you think of David, he run through a troop. He leaped over a wall. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you could do that? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Well, Samson slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, didn't he? The Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight. Do you believe you could put 1,000 to flight? Samson did. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that right? And he said if two of us got together, we could put 10,000 to flight. Isn't that something? You know, by yourself, you put 1,000 to flight. Just think, you have the power to overcome 1,000 devils. And a lot of times we whine like little old puppies. You know, just one little old ugly devil gets after us and we whine like a puppy. When we have the ability to put 1,000 devils to flight, and if they really give us trouble, why, just two of us get together and 10,000s of them will be on their way. That's our power over devil. Somebody said, oh, that devil, Brother Pike, he's just about beat my brains out. Well, bless your heart, you need to get in touch with God. That's right. You need to get in touch with God. Boss, we'll see what the devil does. There ain't nothing he can do. You just wait. I have for about 18 to 20, 25 years. You love the Lord? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's took care of you for 5 years, don't you reckon he could do it for another year or two? So then we can put thousands of devils to flight, legions of devils to flight. Little Bethlehem, we should bind together, we should pray, we should believe God, and we should have legions of devils running from us. Not running from them. Somebody says, well, I just wish I could believe that, Brother Pike. Well, if you don't believe that, you need to get born again so you can believe that. If you don't believe that, the devil, he'll tear you up. Like a preacher said one time, I've made the statement to you, you know, he said, you say, little old me, I'm just little old me. You know, I'm just a little old worm, God. And that's a good attitude if you really mean it. You know, it's the humility. But this preacher, he was preaching, said the devil's going to learn that, and he's going to stick you on his hook and go fishing with you because you're just a little old worm. But did you know that when we're born again, we're not a little old worm? God said, I'll help you, Jacob, thou worm. Isn't that right? And the Bible said, where the worm dieth not. But we're not in the worm. How many know we're not in the worm? How many know that we went through a state of metamorphosis, and we've left the cocoon behind, and we're sitting in heavenly places, and that we're not in the cocoon? He's chosen us out of the flesh, and we're not a worm. Isn't that right? All right. I want to sing that again. We'll be ready when our bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. One more time. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. We're here tonight to love the Lord and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. God has made all of the provisions, and all we have to do is rest in Him. And everything will be all right. But we have to rest in Him. To get into His rest, you have to cease from your own works. You that are so ambitious to all of the many things of life, all the many things you want to do in life, you know you'll never enter into His rest until you cease from your own ambitions. Until the day when you can turn to God with all of your heart and forget about your ambitions. Let God meet your needs. Let God program your mind. Let God provide for you. Till you can do that, you'll never enter into His rest. Never. And if you mumble and you grumble, Paul tells us in his writings, God swore that those people that did that would not enter into His rest. Because a mumbling, grumbling attitude is a devil. And there is no peace to the wicked. You've got a devil. But when you get rid of your gossip, and you get rid of the devils and demons of fault-finding and jealousy, conniving and ambitions for the things of the world and the gullible desires of the world, when you get rid of those things, then you get into peace. For all the paths of God are peace. Peace, the tranquility of God begins to fill your heart. See, because that is rest, all of the paths of God are peace. That is rest. And unbelief in His word as to conformity, not doing the things that He said, will keep you from entering into that spirit of rest. When you begin to believe on Him that sanctified, believe on Him. And they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, even that was finished from the foundation of the world. Jesus said, this is the works of God, that you believe on Him that the Father has sent. That is the works of God. So then, if you're going to enter into His rest, then that's the way to do it. While you've got your heads bowed, thinking about this rest, thinking about the things of God, I want you to remember to pray for me. I need your prayer. Pray for me. When you don't have anything else to do and anyone else to pray for, pray for me. I've got a world responsibility to pluck up and to play. So think on me when it's well with you. I'm going to ask Brother Roger to come, if he will. Roger will come and pray with us. While Roger's coming to pray with us tonight, I want you to think now. The whole world is waiting on this army of Bethlehem to go out there and put 10,000 to flight. A legion or legions to flight. To break the hold wherever we go for revival or wherever we go in the ministry around the world, as we hurl the gospel around the world as to one unit, as to one mind, all of us binding together to create an atmosphere to drive millions of devils away so that people can have a free mind long enough to think and hear the word of God and come to repentance and find everlasting life. The cities are overrun with devils. The cities are overrun with devils. All of these young boys and girls running up and down the street, they're devils. See, they've given themselves to devils. They're devils. All of the blowing of the horns and the sirens and the screaming and the foolishness and the rock and roll. All of the buying and the selling. All of the obscene dressing. All of this cursing, smoking, joking. All this thing of television, all this thing that is unlike Christ. It's devils and demons. Millions of demons have taken over the city, even the city of Monroe. And it's up to you and I to face them, to pray, to drive them out, to conquer. Conquer. They can't conquer us. They can't even touch you. The Bible said, he that is born of God, the evil one toucheth him not. He can't even touch you. But we have power. And we have to utilize this power and ability to free them people. Don't sin against God by failing to pray for the people. Go witness and testify. Ye are my witnesses. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God will take care of you. Don't be afraid. All right, as Roger comes to pray, don't forget the services. As I said, I may go to Florida tomorrow, I may not. I really don't know. I've got some things going on that I need to do. Maybe I'll go. I don't know. You just pray for me.